From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deckett. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. We're going to ask you, folks, please, before you jump into this one, as I said in episode one, this is deep water. Before you jump into part two of the Pentagon's anti-vaccination program, please check out part one. As a United Explorer card member, you can earn 50,000 bonus miles.
Plus, look forward to extraordinary travel rewards, including a free checked bag, 2x the miles on United purchases, and 2x the miles on dining and at hotels.
Become an explorer and seek out unforgettable places while enjoying rewards everywhere you travel.
Cards issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A. Member FDIC. Subject to credit approval. Offer subject to change. Terms apply.
Is getting gas at Exxon burning a hole in your wallet? What if I told you can easily earn cash back while you fill up? Introducing Drop, the app that turns every fill up into a reward. With Drop, you'll earn points to get free gift cards every time you fill up your tank. Download Drop and use code DROP66 to instantly receive $5 in points to jumpstart your savings journey. Don't miss out on turning your gas expenses into something rewarding.
Dile adiós al verano y dale la bienvenida a los doorbusters de Labor Day en JCPenney. Como camisetas para niños a $5.99 y jeans a $14.99 de Thereabouts, la marca favorita para el regreso a clases. Además, actualiza tus ollas con un juego de 3 piezas por tan solo $17.99. O usa tu cupón y ahorra 30% extra por toda la tienda. JCPenney, vale la pena. Ofertas válidas del 30 de agosto al 2 de septiembre en selección de estilos. Aplican exclusiones. Los doorbusters excluyendo los cupones. Detalles en la tienda jcp.com.
Here are the facts. Previously on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, time kind of got away from us, don't you think?
Well, I think we all ended this recording session alarmed at how much there was to say about this topic. And as you pointed out, Ben, we don't do two-parters often. And when we do it for a good reason.
And here we go with part two. Just quickly to jump in here, to add this, just more context, we were talking about how there were vaccine fears in the Philippines prior to any of this going down, and that is from the Reuters investigation. There's someone they interviewed named Lulu Bravo, who's the executive director of the Philippine Foundation for Vaccination, who was talking about a dengue fever vaccine that was rolled out in 2016, and because of that rollout, there were public concerns about that specific vaccine and a lot of skepticism and a lot of social media posts very similar to this that were making people fearful of that specific vaccine. Like, maybe you shouldn't take it. And there were some issues with it.
Let's talk about it even within our own country, like things like, you know, experiments on, you know, African-American populations that we have literally done and the government has subsidized. I know a lot of black folks that are friends of mine who didn't take the vaccine because of those fears, because they think that, like, there's a definite possibility that whatever this thing is not good for them and is in some way nefarious.
Here's where it gets crazy. Operation Warp Speed did not accomplish all of the things it wanted to accomplish. In fact, it stymied some of its own goals. Noel, you're talking about Tuskegee. I imagine you're also talking about various prison experiments, not all of which have been declassified at this time in 2024. Yeah, this happens. This kind of stuff happens.
And that's within our own country. Like, of course, you know, people, and, you know, this isn't about our vaccine, but just the fact that people would be suspicious of a sort of like, you better take this now. Better take your medicine, you know, like.
Well, I think anytime any government comes forward and says, hey, you have to do this thing
in your body that hasn't really been tested that much.
there probably should be some healthy skepticism, no matter where you live, no matter what government is doing it.
With the Americans in particular, though, if you look at it objectively, all the stuff that the government is already okay with people shoving in their bodies, you know, the Homa high fructose corn syrup, right?
Yellow number
aspartame.
Five.
Aspartame. You know what I mean? Anyway, that's, I don't know if that's a helpful point, but it is a true one. We do also have to give a great deal of respect again to our journalist who broke the story in Reuters, because they're very fair about what they can and cannot prove. Now, they have a lot of read between the line implications. I think we're talking about this a little off air, but they earned a lot of respect, I think, when they noted explicitly that they could not, quote, determine how widely the anti-vax material and other Pentagon-planted disinfo was viewed, or to what extent the post may have caused COVID deaths by dissuading people from getting vaccinated, end quote. So they're very fair about that. But as we said, you know, 48,361 people died of COVID in the Philippines by November of 2021. So people were dying, and some of those lives could have been saved by vaccination.
Can we also point out, wasn't Rodrigo Duterte kind of a mega problematic figure, the president of the Philippines? He like had some really wild policies about murdering, killing, executing drug dealers, and like some really totalitarian kind of things that he had to say.
Totalitarian, drunk stepdad energy for sure.
Yeah, it was 2016 when he got elected, same year as Donald Trump, and it was that anti-drug campaign with those, what they were, purported death squads that were then confirmed, where people would just go and commit extrajudicial killings of drug dealers or people suspected of taking drugs. Or, I mean, it was nuts.
Real bad.
Right. It was Judge Dredd level kind of stuff. There was not a rule of law instituted. If you, it became almost witch hunt like, because an accusation did not have to be supported by facts.
Well, this quote that you got in here, Ben, really supports exactly what we're talking about. Like this kind of rhetoric that he's putting out. In June of 2021, he said in a televised address, "You choose vaccine or I will have you jailed. There is a crisis." And it's funny because this goes counter to his other policy or ideals on drug use or whatever. But no, in this case, there is a crisis in this country. I'm just exasperated by Filipinos not heeding the government.
Yeah.
Imagine that in the United States. Imagine if President Trump or Biden or really any. Yeah.
Hell
pick your
no.
favorite or least favorite president. What if Franklin Pierce stood up one day and said, everybody, go get this shot or you're going to be arrested?
Well, because the logistics of enacting something like that starts to really get into like Nazi level Kristallnacht type rounding up of certain types. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's when you really start to have to paint with a mega broad brush, where it's like, and then it's so easy to just be lumped in with, oh, you know, a person that didn't take it, you're just as bad. And that's when things just go haywire.
Well, and it's a weird situation. The entire world is going through this thing that everybody kind of is on the same page that this is a global pandemic to the level of like disaster.
We've never seen
civilization like, yeah, might end yeah. at some point if we don't get this under control.
That was the line. I mean, it was real. I felt that way to a degree, you know.
So,
it felt very dystopian.
Well, so you can imagine where someone who's used to being able to just say, you know, I don't like drug dealers, let's kill them all, is exasperated by the populace not listening to him anymore.
Also torn between the Filipino president is, for most of recent history, is going to be torn between bigger powers, mm-hmm. right? And it absolutely, absolutely sucks for the people living in the Philippines. For, you know, we have a lot of listeners who are in the Philippines or in the Filipino diaspora, you know, and this is something that I think a lot of people miss, you know, is the fact that you, as a president of this power, you are continually threading the needle.
What is it? When elephants make war, only the grass suffers.
Yeah. Yes. And speaking of suffering, no, I'm kidding. That's not the way to set up an anthem.
That's fine. It's as good as any other, man. This is all pretty bummer material.
We should note this operation, this program, still as of yet not officially named, was halted in mid-2021 under the Biden administration. It was spring of 2021 when the NSC, the National Security Council, said, hey, guys, stop any anti-vaccine messaging. And presumably, you know, this faction in the Pentagon came back and said, yeah, but, you know, like greater good. And we don't like China. They told us, you know, we don't like China. So we're doing the non-China stuff. Like you guys said that. And then they say, okay, no. You got to be pro-vaccine. You got to be pro all vaccines. And they're like, yeah, but what about, you know, you
said dude, that freaks me out a little bit. You got to be pro-vaccine. You have to be pro all vaccines. Trust me. Oh man, spring of 2025, we got a big thing coming and we need to be pro-vaccine.
It just goes to show how little actual truth matters in these kind of situations. It's not about truth. It's about like toe the line. It's about, you know, like there is nothing here that is contingent upon what is actually real. It is all about like what is our goal, like in terms of like what are we trying to accomplish, and it usually involves lying or tricking people. It's not about the greater good at all, ever. Mostly, Jesus. I'm sorry, well, I get upset about this kind of stuff.
We have to. The greater good depends upon the perspective, right? And before we go to an ad break, we'll leave you with one of my favorite truisms from the Pentagon: we don't lie. The truth changes. We'll pause for a word from our sponsors.
Have you made the switch to Knix? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from Knix. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from Knix are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try Knix. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to Knix. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's knix.com.
Is getting gas at Chevron burning a hole in your wallet? Get the Drop app. With Drop, you can earn free gift cards just by filling up your tank. Download Drop now. Use code DROP77 to instantly receive $5 in points.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain, but those experiments are the most important scientific discoveries of the time.
I'm Evan Ratliff. Last season, we tackled the ingenuity of Elon Musk with biographer Walter Isaacson. This time, we're diving into the story of Benjamin Franklin, another genius who's desperate to be dusted off from history.
His media empire makes him the most successful self-made business person in America. I mean, he was never early to bed and early to rise type person. He's enormously famous. Women start wearing their hair in what was called the coiffure a la Franklin.
And who's more relevant now than ever.
The only other person who could have possibly been the first president would have been Benjamin Franklin. But he's too old and wants Washington to do it.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we've returned. Let's get into it.
We don't lie. The truth changes. Let's see what the experts think. As we said at the top, we want to be very careful not to denigrate, you know, the millions of people who work, the literal millions of people who work at the Pentagon who didn't have anything to do with this, right? I don't think a memo went out on a Friday where they said, hey, everybody, keep it under your hat.
Well, but when you have that level of granular kind of like mission creep and stuff, it's a lot easier to say I was just following orders, because your orders aren't to execute a person. Your orders aren't to put someone in a camp. Your orders are much more minutely kind of detail than that. So even you as a person enacting that order, you don't even see it because you don't see the big picture. You're siloed so much, you just see the one little thing you're doing, which might appear innocuous.
Yeah, a lot of the banality of evil, right? I think it was Hannah All right. The interesting thing here too in this exploration is that the majority of people who do go on record to be identified as individuals from their statements, they are former employees, right? They're former officials, or they're academics, or they're running a nonprofit or a think tank. One of these was Greg Treverton, former U.S. National Intelligence Council chairman. These are the folks who are kind of, without sounding dismissive, with great affection, they're sort of the admin of Washington spy agencies.
Yeah, they're like above the Sith Lords somehow.
They put together the pizza parties, which is a position of tremendous power.
For the Sith Lords, yes.
For the Sith Lords, right?
What do you think Sith Lords like on their pizza? Probably just cheese.
Child's tears.
Well, I would argue it's like, you know, how they often in films,
bad guys drink milk.
Drink milk. Thank you. Yes, exactly. I think they just like straight up extra cheese.
Excuse me. Could I have some milk on this pizza?
I'd like you to give me a side of milk so I can dunk my slice in that milk. And it's gotta be whole milk.
No more sloppy pizzas.
I was about to say.
Yeah. And I'll take that milk extra warm, please.
Yes. Directly from the mother of justice.
Oh boy. Yeah. Yeah. She can't see because her eyes are closed. But her blindfold jokes. Whatever. We'll keep it. So Treverton said something I think everybody would agree with. He said, look, it should have been in our interest to get as much vaccine in people's arms as possible. not everybody's interest, maybe, but he said the Pentagon crossed the line by endangering innocent lives for geopolitical gain. I think we can agree with that.
Yeah. Greg didn't get the memo that the mRNA test was going wide. You know, he just, he didn't know.
So do
too
you
busy
think,
at the pizza party, Greg.
Do you think they were only willing to roll the dice on this campaign, geopolitically speaking, because they didn't take it seriously enough yet? They didn't really foresee how many fatalities might result from this?
I would argue, and I want to be careful about this, I would argue that the reasoning was this is a new vector that we can use in our ongoing argument or conflict with China. So this was not necessarily, as far as the idea of taking it seriously, yes, retrospect is always a benefit. But to them, in their mind, this is, the U.S. is growing desperate, right, to counter this expansionist influence in Southeast Asia. And so any kind of foothold or toehold you can achieve, right, any kind of beachhead in this situation is worth pursuing.
Did you say beachhead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that like a D-Day kind of situation, like storming the beaches? I don't know beachhead.
Two conflicting, in this like case, ideologies.
Okay, got it. Yes,
yeah, hegemonic powers. They're like, oh, yeah, they're fighting on that beach.
Or, you know, draw us a picture. What do you think a beachhead looks like? Conspiracy at iHeartRadio.com. And then we've got policy experts like Timothy Caulfield. He put it much more bluntly when he was speaking to Scientific American about the news. He said, quote, the United States government made a conscious decision to spread misinformation that killed people.
There you go. There
so
you
he's
have
not
it.
As he's not a, being as diplomatic nor as specific as we are being.
Yes, exactly. And we also have a reaction from the Chinese government as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The Chinese foreign ministry has a lot of takes on this. One email they sent said they oppose actions to politicize the origins question and to stigmatize China. So the origins question is, you know, the idea of the provenance of COVID-19. Was it a wet market? Was it a lab in Wuhan? Was it a secret government op? If so, which government? Those kind of questions are pretty sensitive in China, just in general. I wouldn't bring them up if you travel there.
No, don't do that. No. If you take your mind back, when we think about all of the various hypotheses that were out there, official like hypotheses about how COVID-19 began, like look at all the episodes we've done covering the topic, how it has officially changed so many times. And there was a lot of success on both the United States part and on China's part, blaming the other side. And lots of official reports that came out like, oh, no, there's no way it was this. Oh, wait, the lab leak is actually probably right. Oh, wait, no, that has nothing to do with that. It's blasphemous to say the lab leak is real. Oh, wait, no, it's right again.
Meantime, nations of panicked people weirdly washing their groceries.
Oh, I'll never remember forget. That? Yeah, never forget.
Never forget. You're right. You're absolutely right. And China did argue with success that they convinced people COVID originated in the United States. We are definitely going to see more reactions from the Chinese government as this story develops. It is not going to, it is not a fun month for the State Department or for the people working there. I hope you still have an okay 4th of July. But it's probably intense. I think a lot of people are going to be working through the holiday. And there's one thing that we didn't get to yet, but I think we're all very excited about this. Who the heck is General Dynamics IT?
Oh, well, this is the Tampa, Florida folks.
Get it. That's the abbreviation. And I picture, you know, someone in Tampa just like busting out of some secret compound and just yelling, get it. And it's another Florida man story that gets ignored.
Yeah. In this case, it's followed by, get it. This is who we are. A global technology and professional services company that delivers consulting, technology, and mission services to every major agency across the U.S. government, defense, and intelligence community.
And here we are in our dumb little podcast. They get a ton of work. You know what I mean? Talk about a good career decision. You don't have to look far at all to find them. And for everybody listening along, what Matt just read to us is a verbatim quote from the Get It website.
Yeah, that's what they do, man. They do all kinds of work for every major agency across the U.S. government, defense, and intelligence community.
I wonder if there's an agency that's like too small for them. You know, like the Bureau of Land Reclamation
wants
some good Hoover propaganda, and they say no.
Ah, nah, man. There's so much work from that agency, from that administration, whatever.
Yeah. And just for two quick examples, in 2021, General Dynamics IT got a $190 million contract with the Patent and Trademark Office. And then in March of 2024, as we record this evening, they received a $922 million contract to modernize IT infrastructure of U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM. So,
wow.
And by the way, to be clear, those are both things that need to happen. That's not skullduggery, right?
Yeah.
That's not insidious.
Think about how many patents the U.S. government has to make sure that they control before they ever hit market. You're talking about the patent office, $190 million contract. They're just looking through everything going, oh, nope, that's ours. And that's ours.
Mm-hmm. That's ours. They're paying a guy to read all that stuff. Be
one
careful.
Dude, $190 million.
I love it. Yeah. I hope so. Write to us, man. We want to hear your thoughts. It's weird, though. It's one of those uber powerful private entities that most of the public never thinks about. And make no mistake, they have directly impacted you in one way or another. Most likely without your knowledge, they've hit your pocketbook because these contracts do come from taxpayer money. So a lethal anti-vax campaign is just one of the many projects that got. Because they, you know, it's get it. I'm just spinning this out. You can also apply for a job on their website.
Just oh, really?
What are the prereqs? What kind of qualifications are we talking about?
So let's go to, if you go to gdit.com, you can hit their nifty little scroll down and you'll click on careers. And they want you to...
Opportunity owned.
Yeah, they want you to... look at their featured career areas. This is such a big operation, too.
It does say I'm interested in, and suggestions are cyber or engineer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have 30,000 employees, experts and consultants who, quote, extract the power of technology to create immediate value and deliver solutions at the edge of innovations.
It means nothing.
I am fainting from the TED. I'm like asphyxiating from the TED Talk energy there. You know what I mean?
Extract the power of technology.
What is disruption?
Ben is holding two.
He's steepling. He's doing
two
the steepling.
Yes, yeah, yep.
It's two fingers, so you know it's not evil. Right? but that's get it. They're huge, and just like you know, a microcosm of the DOD. Not everybody at this company knew about the anti-vax thing, right? And if they did, doubtlessly there would have been a lot of dissent. They would not have wanted that to happen.
Oh, hey, this is a huge point. I just want to, I just remembered this, guys. We talked about it on the show a whole lot. The CIA is prevented legally, officially, from targeting American citizens with propaganda. The United States government cannot target us with propaganda, except they kind of can now.
Because that'd just be mean, right?
There's a loophole that happened.
There's a loophole we've mentioned before, but officially they can't do that. That's why this whole thing was targeted to people who lived in other countries, right? Pretty far away from the United States.
But there's a trickle-down effect that they're hoping for, right? Isn't that the idea? Because of the interconnectedness of the internet and all of that, you could argue that by targeting elsewhere, it will eventually filter down to the online of us here.
100%. The borders are strange.
Yes, and the point that we're building here, I'm going to steeple as well, guys. It doesn't have to be the CIA with using these disinformation campaigns. It could be another, let's say, federal agency that is also intelligence by nature.
But isn't beholden to that particular mandate.
Right.
They could
like
be targeting
Five Eyes
us.
And Intel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's also, you know, we don't talk about it enough. Maybe we should do a thing about American propaganda abroad, because the domestic U.S. power structure has an adorable way of pretending that they're not doing the same things as other countries constantly. Radio Free Asia, Voice of America. Yeah. Nonprofit. Okay. Anyway, yeah. I walked down the street from that one.
No, but it makes me skeptical of the things I am for and against, right? As our saying, for and against. It makes me skeptical of the things that I even hold dear. And hopefully it makes you listening think about that skeptically too, because we could be being targeted not just by our government, but by any government out there doing the same kind of thing.
I try to just let my opinions be guided by morality and not government rhetoric, because I just feel like it's inherently not to be trusted, no matter where it's coming from. I just don't think they have our best interests at heart, and they're not actually giving us the full story ever. It's not based on truth. It's not based on reality.
You don't get the talking points during the eclipse?
Maybe. I don't know. Guys,
just signaled right in.
Well, question though, with Duterte, like with his level of dissatisfaction with this whole thing, did that have any geopolitical ramifications?
Oh yeah, they continue. We don't know how far it'll go. And to that point, I'm glad you bring that up before we close, Matt. There was a timing that we were talking about off air that really stood out. Yeah, but those implications, those consequences.
Yeah.
We're still in fog of war at this point. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I just
and he's
make,
no longer president.
Yes,
I was
correct.
Gonna ask. Yeah,
and neither is Donald Trump, at least for another couple of months.
You know who is president, though, of the Philippines? It's irritating to me. It's Marcos.
Like of the Imelda Marcoses?
Yes. Yes, just so. The current president is Ferdinand Marcos Jr., street name Bong Bong, and he is the second and only son of the dictator Ferdinand Marcos.
Wowzers.
Democracy, baby.
Woo! Well,
it's
hey guys.
Democracy writ large. No, democracy manifests.
So under Duterte, we talked a little bit about the hard crackdown, the death squads for suspected drug dealers, but walk us through what stands out about the timing.
Well, the only thing that really stood out to me is that the U.S. and the Philippines have this special relationship because of the strategic placement of military bases, naval stuff going on in the Philippines that the U.S. has. But in 2016, Donald Trump and Duterte are both elected. There's that crackdown that we just mentioned on drugs. The United States officially is not okay with that, and they decide to cancel a major weapons deal with the Philippines, which is a huge deal in itself. that the U.S. refused to sell 26,000 assault rifles to the Philippines because of this. And since we basically said no and we're trying to slap their hand, use the old stick method, Duterte decided he was going to get cozy with specifically Russia and China, who were the, you know, geopolitical rivals of the U.S., basically saying, oh, yeah, you're going to use a stick. Well, watch what I'm going to do. And he traveled in 2017 to Moscow to visit basically with the leadership there, with Putin and everyone, to come up with probably arms deals. Like, that was one of the major things, but probably other special relationship stuff, right? Because he's, at least it would appear from the U.S.'s perspective, that the Philippines is moving away from the U.S., at least in some way, right?
Didn't at a certain point, though, Trump kind of like rhetorically at least support the idea of executing drug dealers? Unilaterally? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, just saying. Yeah.
In that administration, there was a penchant for always supporting what we're seeing as authoritarian
strongmen. Yes.
Yes. Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. But the U.S.'s official position was no, Philippines, don't just kill all your drug dealers. But the weird thing, guys, I mean, well, I guess, first of all, that's one point, right?
We're not going to sell you weapons to kill innocent people. What is this, the Middle East?
Wait a minute. Okay.
I'm telling you. There's all the
wheels
this
within
so
wheels. Y'all.
Go back to that propaganda episode, as you said, Ben. That's the one. But the relationship between the U.S. and Philippines was already like pretty strained at this time, as we're moving into when this disinfo campaign was active. There was just a weird thing that I wanted to mention to you guys. In 2017, as Duterte is in Moscow, his country, one of the major cities there in the Philippines, is attacked allegedly by ISIL. Or ISIS, the Islamic State, while he's there in Russia making this arms deal. That just feels a little bit strange to me.
Like convenient?
You know
what I mean when I say convenient. I mean, like, it was, yes.
It feels a little weird to me. I don't know if you guys think that. Maybe I'm really being super conspiratorial here. It just does feel like from our past conversations, there's a tendency for a group that would be considered like a rebel group, right? Freedom fighters that are built inside a country where there's a proxy conflict occurring for that group.
Plausible deniability.
Yeah, plausible deniability. And that group can then be weaponized in other ways
for
and in other places.
False flag type situations.
I'm not saying that's what happened here. Just saying it feels weird to me.
I couldn't agree with you more, Matt.
Anyway, so with this in mind, you also, playing along with us at home, folks, you probably also see the kind of things you're talking about, Matt, the interesting timing, right? The tit for tat, the cause and effect and the feedback loops. We know for sure a couple things we want to end on. First, this program, still not officially named, I'm sure it'll come out. It was far from the first of its sort. 2019, Trump administration authorized the CIA to do a campaign on Chinese social media to try to turn people against China. Which honestly, in 2019, was not that hard. I'm just saying it was a low bar to set.
Well, we also know that there were Russian social media campaigns that like were designed to sway the election in favor of Trump. Or maybe we know that, maybe we don't, but it certainly seems like that was likely. All I'm saying is this idea of they are the ones that do that. We don't do that. Of course we do that. Of course we do that. And sometimes we do it to our own effing people. Hold the phone. Let's take a quick pause to hear a word from our sponsor and then get right back into this topic.
Have you made the switch to Knix? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from Knix. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from Knix are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try Knix. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to Knix. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's Knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's KNIX.com.
Is getting gas at Shell burning a hole in your wallet? Get the Drop app. With Drop, you can earn free gift cards just by filling up your tank. Download Drop now. Use code DROP88 to instantly receive $5 in points.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain, but those experiments are the most important scientific discoveries of the time.
I'm Evan Ratliff. Last season, we tackled the ingenuity of Elon Musk with biographer Walter Isaacson. This time, we're diving into the story of Benjamin Franklin, another genius who's desperate to be dusted off from history.
His media empire makes him the most successful self-made business person in America. I mean, he was never early to bed and early to rise type person. He's enormously famous. Women start wearing their hair in what was called the coiffure a la Franklin.
And who's more relevant now than ever.
The only other person who could have possibly been the first president would have been Benjamin Franklin. But he's too old and wants Washington to do it.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we've returned.
Guys, I've got one last non sequitur here that I just discovered.
I bet it's a sequitur, I would
argue.
Nope,
this is non sequitur.
Okay, fair enough.
At the time when the U.S. is waging this disinfo campaign, the major vaccines that were being offered by the U.S. were these brand new mRNA vaccines. Look, this is conspiratorial, boys. The version out of China, the Sinovac vaccine, was not an mRNA vaccine. They offered they made their first one and offered it to the public in 2023, an mRNA vaccine by China. If you want to go deep into the rabbit hole, maybe the U.S. was trying to get mRNA in everybody.
Because that was a relatively new technique.
It was a brand new. It was right. Yes. Untested.
The it was a little was the too test. New.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like the thing about being a fighter pilot is you want to be on the second jet.
Yeah. Well, and it just goes to show the reason people think things like 9/11 are a conspiracy, because it was an opportunity to grab something, to make people believe something, to make people comfortable in allowing the government to do something to them.
Well, and we needed a new Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about a new American century? So this program we're talking about, just to go back to this, like, again, we've proven it is far from the first program of its sort. The scary thing is we provably know also this will not be the last operation of its sort. Why do we know this? Because in February of 2024, got another 493. Got another $493 million contract specifically to continue providing clandestine influence services for the military. We won't know what the fallout is for years to come, but we know some immediate effects, some immediate cost of getting caught with your hand in the cognitive cookie jar. Trust in U.S. institutions is already very eroded, especially, you know, with these bizarre mommy dearest type moves from SCOTUS. All state.
Do you think more so than in the past? Do you really do?
Yes, it is. Not just domestically eroding, but abroad it's eroding. And that's where it starts to get even, it's a different kind of dangerous.
Well, that's when we start losing our privileged position as the one that can solve the problem. And once we've lost that, have we not lost our standing as the great superpower? Isn't that sort of what we're leaning on in all of this?
Well, it's kind of the martial art philosophy, right? The best way to win a fight is to not have to physically fight it. You know, if you are to the point where you're swinging punches or resorting to military might, then in a philosophical way, you have already lost.
And it also goes to show why military spending is such a priority, because that is literally all we have left in terms of, like, you know, we need to be this superpower that cannot be effed with.
Well, the economy, I think it's a different kind of military armament. It's a different kind of war,
yeah.
But the U.S. swings big.
But hey, we've got that Navy, right? Except for China's giant new aircraft drone carrier thing that they just built, which, yeah, who cares?
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
Ben says thumbs down.
Proud of them. You know,
they did it. You guys did a good job, President.
It's tough to build a carrier, and drones are one of the future paths of warfare, right? So, you know, I think it's a very. It might not be the main priority for the Chinese forces building this, but it will result in the loss of fewer Chinese service people's lives, which is overall a good thing. You know, I don't think that's necessarily number one in their list when they were saying, how can we fight U.S. aircraft carriers? But I like to think it was, you know, in the top five.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's never benevolent. None of these things are ever first and foremost benevolent. That comes as a talking point that you can then push out and say, look what we did. We're looking out for human lives. See, but that was just a byproduct of the thing that was already a better idea.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's a win-win for everyone, technically. But it depends on how you define everyone. Here's what we need to drive home, a point that one of us made a little bit earlier. There is, as we record, an active war. You are taking part of it in some way. It's not taking place in the physical sphere. Instead, this is a new kind of unprecedented conflict, one in which every social media user is potentially a target, a soldier, and the ground upon which this war is waged all at once. Careful what you click, and make sure to ask yourself why someone wants you to see it. Why is it popping up to you specifically?
Oof.
Yeah. Let's scroll through our algorithms.
It's the doom. You know, I kid myself in saying that I've trained my algorithm to only show me cool art and music and synth stuff. But then these other things creep in, and they do with increasing levels of precision, where I almost don't notice that they're gaming me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a well-trained algorithm when you no longer notice that it's this outside influence.
Exactly. The call's coming from inside the house.
And it's your idea. It was your idea. It's all good. Yeah.
This is not an ad. This is my opinion. Pat on the back to me. You know what I mean? I will order, I don't know, what's the dumbest thing you guys got recently?
Cheese pizza.
Yeah. I got a watermelon because it was... It's the time, you know.
Do you see what I'm saying, though? Like, isn't the idea we think we're smart. We think we're savvy internet users. But if we feed enough information, even if it's only through, like, synth nerd stuff and music and movies, they will eventually get us to the point where they can sneak something in that could potentially weaponize us in their particular cause.
That's the end goal, right? Is, again... Good propaganda doesn't create a thing. Good propaganda finds the thing.
It's already there.
That is already inside or familiar or experiential to you, and then magnifies that thing and kind of molds its growth the same way that you like might grow a tree into a certain shape by gentle pressure over time.
I just saw the revival production of Cabaret in New York, and it's fantastic. If anyone has a chance to see it, I highly recommend it. Eddie Redmayne plays the MC. I'd never seen the show before, but it's basically this microcosm of like the early days of the Nazi, you know, Nazis coming into power. And it's you spend the first act with these people in this very queer, very open nightclub in Berlin. And by the second act, these people that you've come to know and love start to twist their thinking in a way that sort of makes it okay that the Nazis are coming into power. And the thing that's so interesting about this, the way it's written, is you are also sort of in that boat. And it's so easy for that to happen, much easier than you might think. So be vigilant is all I'm saying.
I'm really surprised that this story came out at all. Like, really surprised. It makes the U.S. look super bad.
Careful what you click. Make sure to ask yourself why someone wants you to see it. That applies to this as well, for those of us playing along at home. You know what I mean? Because I had the same question, Matt. And checking in with some folks, you know, it seems that, again, it seems like there was a green light somewhere. But what's the calculus, right? what's the end game? Why would you greenlight an active person to talk about this anonymously?
It's sort of the
quote unquote anonymously.
It's the same question I have when something's quote unquote declassified. I feel like it's a little like, let's just throw a snack to these people that are already suspicious to like placate them in some way. You know what I mean?
A little conspiracy as a treat.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Could it be someone being like someone trying to say, hey, by the way, we did this and you didn't know, kind of thing.
Yeah. Like how
a flex,
you know, like, yeah. Like how I may have come off sounding dismissive of the four Russian ships that were approaching Cuba. And when they did that, not much later, one of the most dangerous craft on the planet, a U.S. nuclear sub, surfaced right off Norway. Their locations are highly secure. You're not supposed to know where they're at. So that was popping a flex. So why is this a flex? If so, to what end? I do have one conspiracy for us to end on.
You knew where the sub was?
No, no one knows where the subs are.
Okay, no, but to your point, but though, when something leaks like this,
got it. There's it,
what
a hidden
is,
hand.
What is the reason? And I fully had not thought about that, but I'm on board with this thinking at this point. Mm-hmm.
It'll be an interesting time to pay attention to more things that don't make the headlines, right? Or fade into the background. One more conspiracy, just as we said, as a treat. The last thing, we talked about it very briefly here. It is so important to note that some of these fake accounts are more than 5 years old.
Because they know the next chess moves. They're already thinking about it.
This is why I think it's important. It teaches us a frightening fact. These were either back pocket accounts. It means one of two things. They were either used in previous, still unrevealed or still classified operations, or they were lying in wait for the right time. Opportunistic, right? So either option shows us some ugly stuff the U.S. government doesn't want you to know. And make no mistake, we say this as Americans, every other government is doing the same thing.
They're running the numbers. They're running the simulations. They're like looking at all of possible, outcomes or all possible contingencies. And then they have versions of those things ready to be deployed at any given time.
Good God, guys, we're going through another presidential election. Like, what do we think is happening right now across social media accounts here in the U.S.?
And yet what we're seeing right now is an example of at least a party being caught with their pants down in a very interesting way that shows that maybe the party isn't as thinking as far ahead as we think they are.
Or are they?
Or yeah. Ah!
Mm-hmm. Existence of these things, the age of these bots doesn't jibe with the narrative as it's being presented, right? Again, I want to go back to those two frightening facts. They're either there showing premeditation or they're vestiges from a previous operation. There is ugly stuff the U.S. government doesn't want you to know, and we want your help to find it. If you want to speak to us off the record, on the record, give yourself a cool nickname, we would love to hear from you. We would love to hear your thoughts. What is the ultimate calculus? What is the shell game here, if shell game there be? We try to be easy to find online.
You can find us at the handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on Facebook, or we have our Facebook group. Here's where it gets crazy. On X, FKA Twitter, and on YouTube, with video content rolling at you on the regular. On Instagram and TikTok, we are Conspiracy Stuff Show.
We have a phone number. Call us and tell us what you thought about that presidential debate that we were just hinting at right
Woo,
there.
Buddy.
Our number is 1-833-STDWYTK. When you call in, you've got 3 minutes. Say whatever you'd like. Give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your name and message on the air. If you've got more to say than can fit in that 3 minutes, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
the entities that read every single email we receive. Send a message to the dark and be well aware. Sometimes the dark speaks back. Before we give you the email, would like to give a very special message to our new friend in New York, Theo at Kinokuniya, a great Japanese bookstore. And shout out to our friend Mangesh, who sent this to us. It is a book review and one of our favorite book reviews so far, I think. Theo says, "Do you dislike the government? Maybe you're a bit cynical and skeptical of everything. This book will help you discern conspiracy fiction from fact in a witty and engaging way. Here it comes. Perfect for flipping through with friends while you guys want to feel like you're smart or something.
Great illustrations as well. Buy the book. It's still out
Theo didn't write that part. He just said smart or something, but we are big fans of Nick Admiral Turbo Benson. Check out his art. Check out his website. And then send us an email, conspiracydieheartradio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Andrea Gunning, the host of Betrayal. I'm excited to announce that the Betrayal podcast is expanding. We are going to be releasing episodes weekly, every Thursday. Each week, you'll hear brand new stories, firsthand accounts of shocking deception, broken trust, and the trail of destruction left behind. Listen to Betrayal Weekly on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm David Eagleman from the podcast Inner Cosmos, which recently hit the number one science podcast in America. I'm a neuroscientist at Stanford, and I've spent my career exploring the 3-pound universe in our heads. Join me weekly to explore the relationship between your brain and your life, because the more we know about what's running under the hood, the better we can steer our lives. Listen to Inner Cosmos with David Eagleman on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.